with his friends, his disciples. And he was hanging with them in a time that he knew would be very dark for them. And Jesus says these words to them. He says, "I have told you everything, so that in me you may find peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I remember thinking of those lines on Tuesday when I was in a church staff meeting. And we heard about what was going on, and we turned the TV on. And we sat there thinking, this must be some kind of accident. What's going on? Let's just pray for whoever plane that was, some errant thing. Then I remember as we were opening our Bibles and starting into the meeting and started to pray, we had the TV on. I remember seeing the second plane come into the tower. And we all looked around at each other in fear, saying things will never be the same. And I remember hearing this verse in my head over and over that Jesus says, "I've told you that there's going to be things that cause fear and there's going to be mass trouble in this world, but find your peace in me during that. And take heart, because I have overcome the world." Love prevails. And each of us can remember that Tuesday, where we were, what we were doing. We can remember seeing the orchestrated attacks against the Pentagon and wondering what was next and feeling the confusion. I know many of us ran home, found our loved ones, as we watched in horror as the buildings collapsed. And I remember thinking that very day, "Father, what do we do? How does this happen? How do we go on?" And I watched news 24 hours a day like all of us did, waiting to see some good news come out of this. And then the numbers started rolling in, because numbers always follow fear and catastrophe. There was 2,992 people who died in that tragedy. In the World Trade Center, there was 2,759, which includes 10 hijackers and 157 passengers and crew members. In the Pentagon, there was 125, including the 5 hijackers and the 59 passengers and crew members. In Flight 93, which was destined to take something else out, to take lives, heroic people stepped up, and 44 people lost their lives, including the 4 hijackers. There were a total of 60 New York Police Department and Port Authority officers who lost their life. Firefighters and paramedics rushed to the scene, and of those, 343 were killed. The number of families who had never received remains to bury was 1,717. The number of children who lost a parent that day was 3,051. And the percentage of Americans who knew someone who was hurt or killed in the World Trade Center, 20%, one-fifth of America. George Bush, in an interview, said, "One day this date will just be a day on the calendar, like Pearl Harbor Day. But for those of us who lived through it, we will always remember what happened that day. Not the evil and destruction, but we'll remember the love and joy and community and hope that sprung forth from that." And whether the terrorists chose 9/11 as a symbolic to our 911 system of our emergencies, this went greater than that. It was greater than an emergency. It's the day the world stopped for most of us in here. It was destruction. And in the aftermath, we all came to church to pray. We all wondered what we could do. And there was a church group called the Orchard Group that says, "Here's what we're going to do. All the money you donate, we're going to take it to New York City and we're going to give it out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every single dollar. When we give it out, we're going to tell people that it's Jesus Christ and his love that's giving this to you." So churches like ours collected, and we remember what Jesus said when he said, "I tell you the truth, that anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward." And we got to hear stories of where that money went. We got to hear about a paramedic named Ron who dived into an SUV as the tower came down and had to dig himself out of the rubble. He's never returned to work, has breathing problems. We got to give money to a little boy and his family named Caleb, who was in elementary school at the time, didn't understand what was going on. All he knew when he got home is his dad wasn't coming home and his mom was crying. We gave it to a guy named Mu Yang Zhou, who owned a deli across the way from the World Trade Center. And as he got the money, he stood there emotionally and financially devastated, saying, how can good come out of this? Tommy, a fire captain, missed dying in a single shift. Every single one of his friends and coworkers that came in after him died that day. He went to 6 memorial services that week. And as we were, the churches were giving this money and we were doling out, we were looking toward God saying, God, give us the message of this. In this, like you did 2,000 years ago, where do we find hope? How do we find hope? Guide us in your word. So this morning, you have your Bibles out there. I want you to open to Psalm 103. And I want us to dig in the word to this and apply this to our lives when it comes to the 9/11 tragedy. We're going to see when David wrote this that he gives a backdrop for things that happen in our life. And that backdrop will always be and is forever God's love through Jesus Christ. God's love in Jesus Christ is the thing that heals. It's the thing that brings victory. It's the thing that prevails. No other thing. So no matter what happens to us in your personal life or in 9/11, nobody can ever take away the love and hope of Jesus Christ. And in this psalm, David paints the picture for us to live our lives by. Even things like this. Max Lucado said this: Osama bin Laden intended to bring America to her knees, and he did. But he didn't anticipate whom we would talk to while we were on our knees. When we were on our knees, we talked to Jesus. The way, the truth, the life. The one that says, this trouble's going to happen, bank on it, on this side of heaven. But when this trouble comes, stop and find your peace in me and know that I have overcome this and the world. I am the one who brings life out of death. I am the one who brings hope out of grief. Put your life in mine and understand that this is not the end. No matter how tragic, no matter how hurtful, you will have your peace in me, and one day it will all be over. One day you will be face to face with me and you will have a joy that's incredible. So right now, bind together as brothers and sisters in Christ and understand that I still am on the throne. And in Psalm 103, we see God paint this picture for us. And so in our outline today, I want to go through this psalm piece by piece. And I want us to see that love prevails in every situation in this one as well. The first point is this: love prevails in our memories. No matter what happened to us that day, when we saw New York people coming together, and we saw the community of the church and the country as a whole, we understand that no matter what happens in our memories, we take hold of love. Because God focuses on the bigger circumstances. In these kind of situations, in your personal life, no matter what tragedy or hardship you go through, whether it's 9/11 or something very, very personal in your life, God always looks at the frame in eternity. Meaning he never looks at the situation, how it compares here to earth, but how it compares to all of eternity. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that God has set eternity into our hearts. That's why when we go to a funeral, it doesn't seem quite right. It seems unnatural for us to be at a funeral because we were never meant to be coming and dying. We were created in the beginning to live forever with him and in community with each other. So in that frame, God sees things in the eternal picture, in the everlasting. So even though it's temporary and even though it's painful, God always frames it into what will be forever, not what just happens on a certain day. And all of us in here are tempted to dwell on the negative. I have a hard time. I've been watching documentaries all weekend, and I have a hard time keeping it in sometimes, the anger and the frustration I feel. But David says, look at it this way. So let's look at verse 1 in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And when we look back, the thousands and hundreds of thousands of stories that we see. We see love and compassion of Jesus Christ poured out into New York, poured out into the world. I was watching about this firefighter who's a chaplain. And he was designated as the very first victim of 9/11. He got that special distinction because when 9/11 started and the confusion in the beginning, he took off, met Rudy Giuliani, and he went into the World Trade Center, into the lobby, and started praying with people who were coming down, praying with people who couldn't move, praying with people who were dying. And he stayed there the whole time, and people said, you could hear him out loud say, Jesus, please stop all of this. Jesus, stop it. And they begged him, you got to get out of here. And he said, I'm staying right here. This is exactly where we're supposed to be. And he prayed, and he loved all the way till he died when the tower came down. They said every morning he prayed this prayer out loud. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Lord, let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say and keep me out of your way. He became Jesus that morning to people. And that spilled over into the hearts of these firefighters who eventually found him, took him to a church, laid him in there, and just for a few moments cried over him and went back to work. And the love and compassion of Jesus Christ was seen through this man, Michael Judge. It was seen through other people as they rallied the street, as they held hands on videos, as they sang Amazing Grace. People who didn't even know who God was came in. He said, praise the Lord who crowns you with love and compassion. And he says in verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. God doesn't allow the bad things to happen. Ever. That's so hard for me because he gives us the ability to choose in love, and in that people can choose evil. And he never causes bad, but he amazingly brings good out of evil. He always, if you let him will, he's always at work. He's active, he's living, he's supportive, and Christ wants to come to each life in the face of evil and say, I am the hope, the resurrection, the life. No longer do you have to live in fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Says about Jesus. And to his love filling in the holes of those people left in pain over 10 years is increasing. It's flowing. People's hearts are being broken to him. People are turning to him. People are saying, this doesn't make sense, this life. Please tell me what it is. And God is showing up through people and his compassion and saying, it's about me. These buildings, all this stuff, the evil, it will show you who I am. And in that, I will comfort you and give you peace. But I'll also bring righteousness and justice. And when we think about that, we think about God's always in control. And it's his love that prevails in our memories of that day. But it's also, number two, love prevails in our circumstances. And that's for us right now. When I look at the stock market right now, up and down, I follow it all the time. It's up and down. And I just want to shout out to people, your hope's not in money. If it is, you're going to lose your hope quick. We see wars going on. We see things happening in the Middle East. We see the threat this weekend that there may be a terrorist attack. And we look at all this stuff, and Jesus said, this stuff will come. He said, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be horrible things, but the end is not yet. And I think the disciples were sitting there thinking of those words on that day for them when it was dark, when he was taken away and beaten. And I think they thought back to when Jesus said this phrase, one of the most powerful phrases I think in Scripture, when he said, a woman giving birth to a child has pain. Because her time has come. But when the baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief and pain, but I will see you all again. And you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. This is not the final. That Jesus says in the pain that's to come more in our life. And the trouble that it's going to be painful. But one day when it's all over, you're going to stand toe to toe, knee to knee, nose to nose with Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, welcome home. And it's all going to be over. There'll be no more crying or pain, it says in the Revelation. For God will wipe away every tear. He will be our light. And Jesus says, you hold on to the day through your pain. Whether it's the 9/11, whether it's a personal tragedy in your life, the loss of a child, a divorce, anything. You hold on to the hope in me because one day it will all be made right. And during that time, find your peace in me. Because love prevails. Love prevails. Psalm 103:8 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our sins. His thoughts toward every single one of us in this room are pretty clear. He's slow. He's quick to forgive and show love. But what about our thoughts? What about our thoughts when it came to the terrorists? Vengeance or forgiveness? And for me, it's struggle because I like to say, I want justice. And if that's killing the guy, then kill him. But then I got to couple to what God's nature is, saying, that's not how I am. One day, Osama bin Laden will stand in front of me, but he's going to be judged not on these acts, but whether he had a relationship with me or not. And it puts my heart into perspective. Our society teaches us the opposite in this country. I don't get mad, I get even. Forgiveness runs contrary in our nature to God's spirit. We've come to believe that this is the American way. There was a soldier in Afghanistan who was serving, and his girlfriend wrote him a letter and saying, it was a Dear John letter saying, I need to break up with you. I found somebody else. Also, could you send the picture back that I sent to you because it's a really good picture, and I'd like to put it in the paper for my engagement announcement. Yeah. So his buddies said, all right. So they went around the whole camp and got every picture of their girlfriend or wife and put it in a shoebox and mailed it back to her. And they had him write a letter that says, could you please find your picture in this shoebox and mail me back the rest? For the life of you, I can't remember who you are. Now, we kind of like that, don't we? We kind of laugh at it, but we kind of like it as Americans. We're like, yeah. You know, Paul said, a man reaps what he sows in Galatians. But no matter what Osama bin Laden did, no matter what the terrorists did, God will settle the score by vengeance and destruction and violence were in their forefront, and it still threatens the world. God says in verse 10-11, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. God does not repay us according to our sin. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Vengeance does not bring victory. Only Jesus Christ brings victory. Only Jesus makes sense. There's one more lesson that I want to end on. It's point three, is love prevails in our dreams. Memories can be filled with love. Circumstances can be defined in love. But dreams for the future must be viewed at in love. 11:15, verse 15, he says this. The life of mortals, us, is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. But the wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Over all, and from everlasting to everlasting. And God, in that group that they gave money to, the Orchard Group, and 10 years ago, has seen amazing things in the everlasting kingdom. A lot of good has happened since 9/11. In Manhattan alone, 1% goes to an evangelical church. Now it's 3%. Now that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's 30,000 people who are now in Christ. Of the 200 evangelical churches, half of them started after 9/11. And God promises in Scripture that he brings beauty from ashes. That a wick that's broken, he will not snuff out. That God will restore if you let him. Jesus Christ never fails. So what's the answer? Violence is not the answer. That's how we got into this. Our economy is not the answer. It's going to go up and down all the time. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Love solves the problem of violence. Love provides joy and security. Jesus Christ casts out fear. Jesus Christ always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus Christ never fails. His love never fails. So I know that Christ is winning. And when I come in here today and when we talk about tough topic and we remember, we feel the pain, I know Jesus Christ is winning. There was a guy named Tim. Great story. He was an actor in Manhattan. And in the 90s, his life spiraled out of control. And cocaine and drug use. He would be on Broadway and he owned a sushi store. And the night before 9/11, he said he got high with a bunch of friends and he went to an audition the next morning. And in between the audition, he walked outside and saw the second plane hit. And he said he remembered talking to Paul Williams, the guy who owned the Orchard Group, about a couple years ago about going to church. And he never took him up on it. And he said that day he realized that he saw evil's presence. And he realized the night before he saw evil's presence. So he went and found this guy named Paul and said, Paul, I've never cared about church. Please tell me where a church is. And Paul said, there's one right up the road. So he went there and a month later was baptized. 18 months later, he's in the pulpit preaching when his minister's out of town, led the senior high youth group, and now is a minister down here in Florida. And he emailed Paul the other day and he said, through all this, I never thought that bad would change to good, but I see Jesus Christ more clearly. And to understand it, if people will just see that bad can be changed to good, and that bad always points to the one who brings love. In your personal life or in 9/11, tragedies come. God allows them. And it's always to direct us, to point us to him, our hope and our peace. Love prevails. So I want to make a suggestion. I know 9/11 is a number we hear all the time, and we always will remember that. But I suggest that we replace 9/11 with 3:16. And in God's great love letter to us, there is so much in there that shows his great love, just like 1 Corinthians 3:16. That says, do you not know that yourselves are God's temple? You are the building. You are the temple. And that God's spirit lives in you. And that happens because his love prevails. Colossians 3:16 says to the church, all of us, let the word of Christ dwell in our heart as you richly and you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you worship and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. We come here because love prevails. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. His love prevails. My two favorite, 1 John 3:16, that says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. His love prevails. There's one more that I think you already know. It's John 3:16. I just want us to say it together as a church. So will you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Love always prevails. In that tragic day of 3,000, it put in the framework that we have a God who works, who we can look to. And I don't know when you'll die or when I'll die. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow, 9/12, or 12/9. I don't know if it'll be year 2020. But all I know is at the end of it all, no matter what tragedy comes into my life while I'm living, no matter what happens, that the numbers I hold on to are 3:16. And no matter what's happening in your life today, whether you feel it's crumbling down around you, whatever circumstance you are in, I want you to understand that God's still on the throne and he rebuilds and he restores and he renews life. That he can take your life and the tragedy, no matter what your circumstances, and he promises that he can build good out of it if you just trust him with your heart. His love prevails. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Our hope when things don't make sense. Our hope when there's tragedy. Our hope in our life. Our hope in everything we do. So, Father, help us to turn to you every day. Father, help us to spill the love and compassion you put in our hearts toward people around us so they may know who you are. Father, bless this place to be a place that reaches people in your name. That no matter what we bring in here, Father, you can heal and you can restore. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There was another day when 3,000 people died to themselves. It was back in the New Testament when the church was just starting. Peter was given his first message, and I want to read some of that to you from Acts 2. He said, with many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. And in that contrast, in 9/11, we saw 3,000 people losing their lives because of a movement of evil. In the New Testament, 2,000 years, we see 3,000 people's lives being saved because of a movement of love. So today, my challenge to you is open your heart to Jesus Christ. To trade your tragedy, trade your life for His, to live for Him by dying to yourself.